Would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? And while you're clapping your hands, why don't you lift your voice and magnify Jesus? God's been good to you. You ought to just praise him right now for a little bit. Just give him some thanks. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Great and mighty is the name of the Lord. Lord, we love you in this house tonight, and we want you to know that you're welcome here. God, have your way tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to come into God's house and feel his presence? Amen. Out of all the thousands of people that God could have chosen, he chose you. That's something to be grateful for. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, my text is coming from Exodus chapter 20. This is a very familiar text, but a very unorthodox text to preach from. While you're turning there, let me say, Pastor Marshall, what a honor it is to be here tonight. I appreciate you allowing me to come. I know it doesn't take a whole, it does take a whole lot of trust to put in a man to stand in your pulpit, and I want you to know I don't take it lightly. Amen. And I'm looking forward to getting to know this church better. You know, what typically seems to happen, I've been doing this a long time. I've been preaching since I was 9 years old. I'm 28. You do the math. But what tends to happen in a service like this is I don't know you and you don't know me. And so I watch you and you watch me. It's like we have watch night service, and that's really all we do is we just stand around and watch each other. But tonight I want you to know that I'm apostolic, and I can tell that you're apostolic. So why don't we just kick watch night out the door and have church? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, "These few words thou shalt not steal." Thou shalt not steal. If God will help me tonight, I want to preach for just a little while the curse of the thief. The curse of the thief. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands and your voice one more time to heaven and asking God to move in this house? God, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor and thanks. God, there's nobody like you in heaven or on earth. God, you're the first, you're the last, and the everlasting. God, we believe you tonight that the miraculous is going to happen. We believe you tonight that miracle signs and wonders are going to happen in this place even now. We thank you, Lord, for doing a great and mighty work in this house tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen as you give the Lord another hand clap of praise. While you're clapping your hands, why don't you just lift your voice and give him a shout of praise one more time. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight as long as you promise to help me preach. If you're not going to help me preach, please remain standing so everyone knows who you are. Amen. When God gave his people deliverance from Egypt, it was not very long before he decided that these people needed some guidelines. These people had lived their entirety of their lives in slavery to another will and to another's way. And it's a very good possibility that if they didn't have some form of government, when they came out of Egypt, for lack of a better term, they probably would have went buck wild. And so God calls Moses to Mount Sinai, and the Bible says that he begins to show Israel his power. The Bible says that the mountain smoked because God came down upon it. The fire fell, the voice of the trumpet was loud, and in the midst of all of this, God began to speak, giving him what we know today as the Ten Commandments. He gave these commandments to become a set of laws that would govern God's people who had never had their own governing. And this was the foundation of their lives. And since they were so simple but yet effective, God placed them in the Word of God for you and I, for lack again of a better term, to just keep us out of trouble. Growing up in church, it's not very old that you begin to learn the Ten Commandments. You're not old at all when you start learning, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and so on and so forth. But I am convinced that if you were to take someone tonight just randomly off the street that's never been in an apostolic church, and further than that, never been in a church, period, and ask them if they know any of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, it's probably going to be one of the two that they know. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Because it's a basic principle on what our society is built upon. And because we understand this, we know that there are consequences for these injustices. It is my personal opinion that there is not anything else in the world that can be worse than be labeled a thief. And everybody in here is wondering where in tarnation I'm going right now. To be labeled a thief to me says that when you go to your family's house, everybody starts locking up their purses. You walk down the road and it's like a parade of horns because everybody's locking their cars. Nobody wants to be around a thief. Nobody wants to be in contact with a thief. You don't want to have to watch everything that you're doing. In today's world, I believe the prophetic word of Daniel has come to pass when he said that men would increase in learning, and it has been so. And so with psychology, we have delved into the mind of a thief to find out exactly what it is that makes a thief do what it is that he does. And so it's said that there are some that steal for necessity. They steal because they don't have any food or water or clothing or any means to get any of those things. And from there, we can go and find that there are those, on the other hand, that suffer from a mental condition called kleptomania, which means that they steal just to steal. They don't have it. They don't need it. They really don't want it, but they just enjoy the moment, the thrill of the thievery. And the reasoning behind this, I don't know. I don't understand it. I can't get into it. I can't figure it out. I don't know why anybody would be like that. But I do know that there are people that suffer from this, and they say they steal just to steal. You can go to your Bible and find it's not but a few verses after what I read to you tonight that God begins to give us the understanding of the curse that comes upon the thief. Exodus chapter 22. I know I'm laying a little bit of a lengthy foundation tonight, but I promise I'm not long-winded. I'm going to have you out of here and at McDonald's in about an hour, okay? Hallelujah. But we can go to Exodus 22 and find that the first 8 verses deal specifically with the thief and the curse that is upon him. The Bible says that he is to pay for his deeds, not only by giving back, but by giving back with interest everything that he has stolen. There was no place in biblical times for a thief. In many cases, it was punishable by death. We can go to the book of Zechariah, and again, we can find that there is a curse going all throughout the word of God that is to be placed upon the thief. Zechariah chapter 5, he says in verse 1, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, and the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then he said unto me, this is the curse. Everyone say the curse. This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on one side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. Zechariah is very different in his laying out. I wish I had time to talk about the outline of Zechariah, but we can go through Zechariah 1 and 2 and 3, and then we can see how God is establishing the order of the priest and how every man is to bring the oil for the man of God so that he could burn his own candle. And there's a whole lot of preaching in that. I wish I had time to get into it, but I really don't. But then it's like God just all of a sudden stops in Zechariah chapter 5, and I can see anger in his eyes. If I could envision this and get it across to you tonight, I imagine that God is angry and there's steam coming out of his ears, if you will. He stops and he says,
man of God, watch this. And he says, I seen a flying scroll, and the breadth thereof was 20 cubits. The length thereof was 10 cubits. And then God spoke to me, and he said, this is the curse. Now, I'm not a theologian. I'm trying to become one. I'm doing my best, Pastor. But I can tell you from just a little bit of study that most theologians seem to believe that this flying scroll was not a word from God, but it was the word of God bringing judgment. We understand John chapter 12 lets us know that we will be judged by the word. And this word of God, Zechariah chapter 5, says that the scroll or the word of God is going to judge the thief. This word is going to condemn the thief. This word is going to put an end to the way of the thief. John 10 and chapter 10 and verse 10 says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came to preach to a group of people on a Wednesday night in Oklahoma and tell you that the thief that's been playing around in your mind and in your family and at your home, he is cursed. There is a curse that he can never reverse. There is a curse that has been put upon him that he shall repay everything that he has stolen. Hallelujah. We indeed realize that the thief has come into our world today. The Bible tells us to rejoice, O ye heavens, and it tells us woe unto the earth and the inhabitants thereof, for Satan hath come down unto you. And if we stop right there, it would be really depressing. He's got a lot of wrath, and the devil's mad about everything that's happening in the kingdom of God. So he wants to steal and kill and destroy. But the rest of that verse tells us why he has great wrath. It says there's a curse upon him. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knoweth that the day's coming that the apostolic church is going to stand up and link arm in arm, and revival is going to spread across the world, and he's going to have to sit back and watch as everything that he's stolen begins to slip through his fingers. I read something in preparation for this that really caught my attention. When I began to read about those that suffer from kleptomania, I found, Pastor Marshall, that there is something that every one of them have in common. It's the fact that they steal only things that they cannot benefit from. Now, let me just tell you something. The Word of God, the scroll, the curse that is going to be upon him forever and ever, said that he's going to be bound in torment for eternity. Now, what's the devil going to do with your peace? How is he going to benefit from your joy? How's he going to benefit from your finance? And since the devil can't use it, there's no sense in him having it. I come to tell somebody tonight, it's time for you to stand up and roll your shoulders back. Look the devil in the eye and say, you didn't give it to me, and you're not going to take it away from me. You didn't give me my family. You didn't give me my joy. I feel the Holy Ghost about right now. You didn't give me the peace that passes all understanding. And I'm not going to let you walk in my house, walk in our church, and take from us what you did not give. Devil, this is our revival. Devil, this is our breakthrough. Devil, this is our saints, and you're not going to come in here and take them away from you. I just want you to know you're still cursed. You're still cursed. You're still cursed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Zechariah chapter 3, as he's getting ready to, I'm just a country boy from McNair County. I really don't know how to talk pretty, so you just kind of got to hang with me tonight, all right? Zechariah chapter 5, God's getting ready to just body slam the devil, in other words. But in Zechariah chapter 3, he gives, it's kind of a leading up to what's going to happen. Zechariah chapter 3 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, you see, I really like it when God starts talking to the devil himself. You better pay attention when God starts talking to Satan. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And, you know, I know we're not supposed to add or take away from the word of God. But every now and again, when the devil jumps on my shoulder, this is how I read this scripture. I go to my Bible and I pick it up and turn to Zechariah chapter 3. And I say, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jacob, Phillips rebuke thee. I just want you to know, devil, that God's got his hand on my life, and there's nothing you're ever going to do. The Lord said he was going to rebuke you. The Lord said you couldn't have my family. The Lord said you couldn't have my peace. Do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, I'm favored by God, and I've got an anointing on my life that, devil, you won't ever be able to overcome and overtake. I just want you to know I'm going to live in victory. You say, well, that's arrogant. You can call it what you want to, baby. But I learned a long time ago that we're an overcomer by the word of our testimony. We're an overcomer. I know you don't feel really victorious, but you need to stand up and let the devil know I'm victorious anyway. I know you don't feel free, but you need to let the devil know who the Son set free is free indeed. I may not be everything I'm going to be, but I'm going to walk and talk in victory. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's some saint of God here. You've been struggling all week just trying to get back to the house of God, and the devil's been stealing from you. You're going to leave here putting the devil on notice tonight, telling him, I am a child of God. I do, my Lord. I do have a purpose. I do have a calling. God really does care about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I preach a little bit longer tonight? Can I take my time? Exodus chapter 22. We understand that now, because of what Zechariah said, that the word of God is that scroll or is that curse that's going to come out against the thief. Now, what does the word of God say about the curse of the thief? And this is where I really like, I ain't even felt like shouting yet, but I feel like shouting now. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1 says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen, Lord help me Jesus, for an ox and 4 sheep. For a sheep. Now, I'm just a simple preacher, but this is what I want to preach to you. In typology, we understand in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, and it's either verse 3 or 4, the Bible says where there are no oxen, the crib is clean, but much increase is given by the strength of the ox. Meaning, literally, in typology, oxen are always a type and a shadow of the blessings of God and finance and increase. And my Bible says that when the devil, the John 10 and 10 tells us who the thief is. It says when the thief comes in and steals your prosperity and takes an ox for you, he's got, when you catch him at his game and you figure out who's doing it, you can go back to the enemy's camp and say, I don't only want my ox back, but I want 5 more to go with it. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, if the devil stole 100, you better get ready for a $500 blessing. If he stole 1,000, God help me Jesus. You say you're just being a prosperity preacher. You can call it what you want to, but it's my will that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I'm telling this church that the blessings of God that the enemy has stolen are going to be restored 5 times greater than they ever were before. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody ought to just reach up and claim that promise and say, I don't see it yet, but I believe it's on the way. Woo! Can I preach about an ox for a little bit longer? Oxen are a type and a shadow of spiritual strength. Can I preach to somebody that's been struggling just to get to church on Sunday and Wednesday night? And every morning when you get up, the devil's there to meet you. Every night when you go to bed, there he is, staring you in the face, trying to convince you that God don't care and the church don't care. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. And just by a thread, you're holding on. All of my strength is gone, preacher. Well, let me just tell you something. The enemy came in and stole that strength from you. And my Bible says in Exodus chapter 22 that when we catch the thief at what he's been doing, he's not only going to have to restore my strength, but he's going to have to allow me to get five times more than I ever had. Devil, if you would have only knew what I was going to be after I walked out of this storm, you would have never bothered me. Because, yea, my Lord, help me, Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what David said? After I come out the valley, there's a table in the presence of mine enemies, and there's an anointing service that's waiting on me. When I come out of the valley, I come to tell somebody tonight, be not weary and well do it, for in due season ye shall reap. If you faint not, I know you're weak, baby, but hold on, hold on, hold on. There's help on the way. There's strength on the way. There's a greater anointing on the way. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you what I feel right now in the Holy Ghost, and you can take it for whatever it is. I've never been to this church in my life. Far as I know, I've never walked in this place. If I did, I don't know. I must have been a two-year-old. I don't know. Brother Marshall, I've never been here. I never met you before. Only time we talked was maybe 5 minutes. But I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. There's been a spiritual attack on this church. The devil's been trying to close the front doors and say, give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. But God sent this man of God all the way from JS, Mississippi to tell you, don't you give up. There's strength that's coming down. I hear the Lord saying, like Daniel, I heard you the first time you prayed, but there was warring going on in the heavens. But Daniel, if you hold on, there's an angel with an answer. There's a breakthrough. There's a greater anointing than you've ever experienced before. Greater revival than you've ever seen. Greater breakthrough than you even know existed. If you just hold on. Hallelujah. 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 Kolobo sataya lobo korondo lobo sataya. Come on, I'm not near about done preaching, but I wish somebody would just let go and say, Lord, I've been struggling. I've been barely making it, but I believe you're going to be my help and my reward. I believe you're going to send me strength. I believe you're going to anoint my mind. I'm not going to backslide. I'm going to make it all the way. I'm not going to give up. The devil's been trying to convince you to give up, but don't give up. Don't give in. Hold on. If I had a little bit of time, I'd tell you that it's not just about the oxen, but it's about the sheep. You see, he said, if you lose one ox,
he's got to restore 5 oxen. But if you lose a sheep, oh, I'm about to preach now. Then he's got to restore 4 sheep. 4 sheep. Can I preach to a mama that the devil came in and stole your baby and they backslid and walked away from God? When we catch the thief doing what he's doing, can I tell you, not only your son's coming back, but your son and his 3 drinking buddies are coming back. You hear me? I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. There's backsliders that have gone out of this church that have said, I'll never go back to that church. But what they don't know is they're going to be the spoil of war one day. And when we walk into hell's territory, we're not just taking that sheep back, but we're taking back 3 more sheep with them. You know what it is? It's revival. It's God drawing by his spirit and people coming in and saying, I got to tell somebody about what's going on at the apostolic church. You better get ready, because you ain't never seen revival like you gonna see it. You ain't never felt revival like you're gonna feel it. We're going to the enemy's territory and we're gonna take them all back. I'm almost done, I promise. You're not even that far from McDonald's right now. But if you go, tell you what, could we go on, could you put Exodus 22 and 3 up there for me? I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, but I just want to show you something. So he said, not only do you have to restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep, but the Bible says, if the sun be risen upon him the thief, there shall be blood shed for him, for he shall make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold. You get this part right here. Then he shall be sold for his theft. So, devil, I just want you to know, not only are you cursed in this church, but you're bound. The spirit of depression, you're bound. The spirit of division, you're bound. The spirit of financial struggle, you're bound. The spirit of family trouble, you're bound. Devil, I want you to know, not only are you cursed, but you are bound. That's why in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. I just want you to know, devil, we figured out who we are, and we figure out what we possess. We got the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside. And as long as we got that power, you're going to be bound. In order, I promise you I'm almost done, but in order to get where I want you to see where God's taking us tonight, we don't need to go any further. We need to go backwards. We need to back up from Exodus all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Can we put it up there in verse 14? When this is what's happening here. There's the backstory. Adam and Eve have been beguiled by the serpent. And now God speaks to the serpent and begins to place a curse upon him. This is what he says in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now he goes into telling him, now here's your curse, and this is the details of it. And he continues that in verse 15. When we turn to verse 15, we say, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Here's the curse that God put upon the serpent. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now I want you to look at your neighbor really close and say, neighbor, I need you to help me now. Neighbor, did you know that you are a curse? I didn't say you were cursed, but you are a curse. Do you understand why the devil don't like shouting and dancing? It's because every time you shout,
Every time you dance, every time you pick up your foot and put it down while you're praising the name of the Lord, you become the embodiment of the curse that God put on him way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. That's why on a Wednesday night, the devil would love nothing more than for you to come to church and get a Bible lesson and go home with no victory. But I come to stir the devil up tonight and tell him we're going to put you where you belong. That's why in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, he says the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. And that's normally where we stop. But then the Bible says this one word. It says shortly. I come to tell somebody on a Wednesday night that the God of peace is going to put Satan under your feet shortly. Like tonight, like right now, the thing that's been holding you back, the curse that the devil tried to put on you, you're going to leave here tonight walking on top of all of that depression, of all of that division, of all of those spirits from hell that have been trying to hold you back. Baby, if you'll just pick up one foot and put it down and pick up the other and do the same, God will put Satan under your feet.
I know what you're thinking. Preacher, it's got to be the right song and the right beat of the drum. But do you understand that it wasn't until Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19 that music was created? And when God gave this message to Adam and Eve and to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, up until this point, no one has ever sang a song before in the entirety of the world. And you know what God was saying? All you need is the power that I put on the inside of you. You see, we got, my Lord, help me, I'm trying to quit, I promise. But we waiting on everything to get right and all of the stars to align and everybody to be happy with us and everything to be just right before we can step out and put the devil under your feet. But can I tell you that when you wait on all that to happen, you're not really putting the devil on your under your feet.
No.
All you're doing is being thankful for the blessings that God has done for you. You put the devil under your feet when all hell's breaking loose and you step out and say, I don't need somebody to pump me and prime me. I don't need somebody to grab me by the hand. I don't need a preacher to lay his hand on me and pray for an hour. All I need is a little opportunity to pick up my feet and begin to shout and dance and give God glory. Sometimes, baby, you gotta praise him just to make the devil mad. Sometimes you gotta shout just to show the devil I'm still here and I'm still in my right mind and I still got my family. You said I was gonna quit. You said I was gonna fall, but I'm still here. Somebody ought to give God some praise right now just to show the devil I made it. I made it. I made it. Come on, that's it. I dare you right now in the Holy Ghost to step out of your pew into the aisle and just put the devil where he belongs. Don't wait on somebody else. They're not the one that needs a miracle. They're not the one that needs your breakthrough. They're not the one that needs your deliverance. You don't need to wait on them. You need to reach out and get it for yourself. Somebody ought to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo!
Come on, devil, you hear that? That's the sound of a victorious church that's made up in their mind. It doesn't matter what happens. We're going to walk in victory. We're going to walk in deliverance. We're going to walk into our breakthrough. We're stepping into our revival.